Message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the voice of the message to Israel. In Beersheba, at the time when he was sensing the insecurity of this life, our father Abraham found strength and stability by calling upon the everlasting God. Amid all the changing vicissitudes of life, Abraham found his true resting place in the one who revealed himself as the ruler of the ages. Today, Mr. Overton will develop this comforting theme. I present to you now A.J. Overton, our Message to Israel voice for the timely series on the names of God.
Thank you, Mr. Spencer, and greetings again, dear friends, in the name of the Lord Yeshua. The compound name for God, El Olam, the everlasting God, is my subject today. God carefully guards his names and calls the attention of men to each addition of his name. For example, he says to Moses, I appeared to Abram, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty El Shaddai, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. To know means far more than a mere intellectual knowledge. The patriarchs were familiar with the name Jehovah, but their experience of God was mainly that of him as El Shaddai, the one who provided all their necessities. When God then gives his name, he is about to reveal more of his character. Thus the prophet Hosea instructs, Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. However precious the truths revealed under his name, Elohim, Jehovah, Adonai, El Elyon, El Shaddai, or El Roy, there is more to be revealed, full of valuable instruction. May we become as Abraham, the friend of God, and walk with God. They that know thy name will put their trust in thee. The compound name of God, El Olam, occurs only rarely, but is most assuring and enlightening. Its initial occurrence is found in the first book of Moses, Genesis. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba, and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God, El Olam. This name, El Olam, comes after the name Abram, exalted father, has been changed by God to Abraham, father of a multitude. Abraham, the true pilgrim and sojourner, is seen leaning very heavily upon the promises of God at this time. For many long years, God has caused him to wander. This man of faith, long barren, has now received the heir of the promise, the son Isaac, by none other than Sarah. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. And she said, Who would have said to Abram that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne a son in his old age. Abraham earlier had pleaded with God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. But God replied, No, Sarah your wife shall bear you a son, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I will bless him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall become the father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation, but my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at this time next year. But the laughter at Isaac's birth was short-lived. For when the child grew and was weaned, Ishmael, the son of Hagar the Egyptian, mocked this promised heir Isaac during the celebration given. The demand of Sarah was strong. The maid and her son must be set away, for the son of this maid shall not be heir with my son Isaac. In answer to the great distress of Abraham, God said, "Whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her. For through Isaac your descendants shall be named. And of the son of the maid I will make a nation also, because he is your descendant." It is thus, after these testings, that Abimelech came to make a covenant with Abraham. Abraham reproved Abimelech because of the well of water which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. Abraham remembered, "God caused me to wander from my father's house." To wander is indeed a strong term. These efforts at Beersheba to drive him out made Abraham deeply conscious of the insecurity from the human point of view of his earthly life. We read that after this, Abraham planted a grove at Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God, El Olam. This new discovery of God checked any further sense of insecurity and insufficiency. It came in the name assuring him of God's eternity, El Olam. This truth Abraham learned amid the changing vicissitudes of his earthly life, that the everlasting God, El Olam, was his true security and resting place. El Olam, the everlasting God, would bring to pass all that he had promised. The name El means the strong one. The word Olam has two senses. Its first and original meaning is to conceal or to hide. It derives directly from a root meaning to veil from sight. Olam also contains the meaning of time or of an age. Olam was used by the Hebrews to indicate often indefinite time and of the passing of indefinite periods. Thus, when Olam is used in conjunction with God, it emphasizes that he is inexhaustible and that he is filled with mystery. He is the God of the ages, and he can be understood only by revelation. Thus, El Olam is translated as the everlasting God. El Olam conveys not merely that God is everlasting or the eternal God, but that he is just what his people need him to be in all succeeding generations. Much comfort and assurance may be drawn from the significant truth expressed in Olam, where it is translated everlasting. Moses declared in Psalm 90, "From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." This truth Moses proclaimed just a short time before his death. Men die, but God continues. He would be faithful to his covenant and to his people. Moses could assure them in his farewell message, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting Olam arms." A spiritual leader expressed in his last years to a group, "I am burdened with the thought of eternity. I am not afraid, but overwhelmed with its mystery." It was the patriarch Job who asked, "Man dieth, and where is he?" Indeed, the very thought of eternity is awesome. How glorious the truth becomes in the revelation of the name El Olam. "Thy name is from everlasting," declared Isaiah. "The Lord shall be thine everlasting light." The great truth of both the inexhaustibleness and the mysteriousness of El Olam, the everlasting God, is observed in the words of the prophet Isaiah. "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding." Now there is a more limited application of the word Olam in the Tanakh, the Law, the Prophets, and the Psalms. Sometimes it is translated forever, but actually meaning for the entire lifetime. The servant, for example, who renounced his privilege of going free in the year of Jubilee, choosing rather to serve his master for the rest of his life, had his ear bored, thus binding him to his master forever, Olam. Even so, in these instances, he is our God unto life's last breath. And we who are creatures of time as far as this earthly life is concerned may be lifted up into his eternal will and purpose. The word Olam also refers to ages or periods of time. God is the God of the ages. His truth endures from generation to generation. El Olam moves through the ages to work out his plan for men and nations. Thus Abraham called on El Olam, the everlasting God. El Olam is not only eternal, but he does not change. We refer to this as his immutability. Through the prophet Malachi, God himself clearly expresses this truth. For I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. The fact that God is unchangeable does not mean that he is a stoical being. He is a personal God. He is one who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He delights in mercy and rejoices when a sinner repents. Jeremiah declared, "He doth not afflict willingly." Yet Isaiah states that for our sins it pleased Jehovah to bruise him, that is, Christ. Yeshua, Jesus Christ, proclaims, "Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and of death. Him that cometh to me," he declares, "I will in no wise cast out." Will you come to him who lives forevermore? Yeshua is the same yesterday, today, and forever.